Hi, everybody. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 1? Verse 40. And there came a leper to him. We're going to look at the rest of this passage, but the point I want us to consider is there came a leper to him. And I'm asking this question, what does it mean to come to Christ? Could we possibly consider anything more important than that? What does it mean to come to Christ? This leper did. Have I? Have you? What does it mean to come to Christ? Now, the Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Coming to Christ is the evidence of divine election. If you're elect, this I know. If I'm elect, this I know. We will come to Christ, whatever that means. In John chapter 5, verse 40, the Lord said to some people, you will not come to me that you might have life. Coming to Christ is the act of life. Coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. And then Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and this is so important. He said, to whom coming? Not to whom you came, not to whom you intend to come. To whom coming? As into a living stone. This is what believers are always doing, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when the Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When I come to the Father, it is only coming by the Lord Jesus Christ. So this gives us an idea of how important this is. All the time. To whom coming? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, we read these words, and the Spirit and the Bride. That's God the Holy Spirit and the church. This is their message. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Not go and do. Not get yourself ready. Not improve this area. Stop doing this and start doing that right now. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not go away. Come. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now that's laboring under the burden and sense of your own personal sin and guilt. Come unto me. Not go away. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Only He can do that. What does it mean to come to Christ? If I don't personally come to Christ, I'll not be saved. I'll hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." What does it mean to come to Christ? You know, you came to church this evening, and it was a physical act. You did whatever it took to get from point A to point B. It was purely physical. Now, I hope we all came here to be spiritually fed, but coming to this place, coming from point A to point B, is a physical thing, and there were certain things that were done in order to get here. You all know what they are. But coming to Christ is a purely spiritual act. You come without moving a muscle. What does it mean to come to Christ? Now, the only way that can be answered is from the Scriptures. If I tell you what I think it means to come to Christ, you know what I'm going to do? Confuse you. That's it. I'm going to darken counsel with words without knowledge if I give my opinion as to what it means to come to Christ. Now, I know this. You'll not find anything in the Bible about coming to Him by responding to an altar call. That's not even in the Bible. You won't find anything in the Bible about coming to Him by accepting Him as your personal Savior. That's not found in the Scriptures. You won't find anything in the Bible about asking Him into your heart. I repeat, what does it mean to come to Christ? I want to do that tonight, don't you? Whatever it means to come to Christ, may God give every one of us the grace in our hearts to do this. Like I said, it's the evidence of divine election. It is the mark of spiritual life, and it's what believers do continually. It's not a one-time act. What does it mean to come to Christ? Well, we read here in verse 40, "And there came a leper to Him." Now, we know this man came to Christ, don't we? You don't know if I have. I don't know if you have. Not in our hearts, but we know this man did. This is a man who came to Christ. And in this man, we will see what it means to come to Christ. In this individual. And wouldn't it be a blessing? A blessing of grace if me and you right now in our hearts come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have to begin this message by saying that this thing of coming to Christ is impossible unless God enables me. I've got to begin there. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Somebody says, "Why do you tell me to come to Christ if I can't?" Well, because the Bible says that. That's good enough reason, isn't it? It's what the Bible says. Look in verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me." No man has the ability to come to me. Why is that? It's called being dead in sins. That's what it's called. And that's why the Lord says this. No man has the ability to come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, unless the Father draws me, and that's just that could mean drags me in with my full consent, yes, but it's invincible, irresistible grace that I can't say no to. Now, the Lord says this. Look in verse 65 of this same chapter. "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me," or except it were given him of my Father. You can't come. I can't come except God draw me, except God give me the grace to do it, except God give me the life to do it. It's impossible for the natural man. Now, here's my point. You haven't begun to come to Christ until you find out you can't. And it's only when you find out that you personally cannot come that you come. You begin there. This is a beginning point. I need to find out that I cannot come to Christ unless He does something for me. I'm in His hand. Now, in this thing of coming to Christ, it's not a long journey. You get there as soon as you come. You're there. It's not a long, arduous point A, point B, point C. You get there as soon as you come, but you can't come except He draw you. Now, you know what the church says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4? Draw me, and we will run after thee. Now, here is what somebody does when they find out they can't come to Christ. Cause me to come. You haven't come until that's been your prayer. Draw me. Give me the grace to come. I can't do it. I won't do it unless you're pleased to do something for me. Now, we've got to begin there. Somebody says, that doesn't make sense to preach on coming to Christ and tell people they can't. Well, it might not make mental sense with men, but it's the way God's Word presents it, and it's the way it must be presented. You have not come to Christ until you personally find out that you cannot come. That is when you begin. There came a leper to him. There came a leper to him. Coming to Christ begins with knowing who He is. There came a Christ to him. As a matter of fact, you won't come to Him until you find out who He is. There came a leper to him. Luke's account says, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, perceiving who He really is, no man will come until he sees who Jesus Christ really is. When you see who He is, you will come. Everybody who sees who He is comes to Him. That's where we begin. First, you find out you can't come. And the reason you find out you can't come is because you see who He is and you see your deadness and your sinfulness. And then you do come when you see who He is. You see, when you talk about irresistible grace, you must have Him. And you won't have that desire until you see who He is. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, and His train filled the temple. And we know from John's account that Isaiah is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, because John says, these things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Now, you know who He is when you see that He is the Lord sitting on a throne, not pacing back and forth, sitting, having finished His work, filled with glory, His train filled the temple. This leper had no lower view of Christ than Isaiah had of Christ when he saw Him high and lifted up and sitting on the throne. When you see Him, you see Him high and lifted up. You see He's God. You see Him sitting on the throne, and you come to Him as such. Now somebody says, how do you know that the leper came like this. How do you know he saw who he was? Well, look, you can turn to Matthew's account if you want to. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and what? Worshipped him. This leper came and worshipped him for who he is. He knew who he was. I can't express the importance of this. When that thief on the cross, when he went to that cross, he didn't know who he was. He was cursing like the other thief was. But all of a sudden, something changed. And he knew who the Lord Jesus was. This is what faith is. It's knowing who he is. He knew who he was. And he worshipped him. Now I want us to think about this. This man worshipped him for who he was before he got anything from him. He hadn't even asked him for anything yet. He worshipped him. Now I want to ask you this question. Is the Lord Jesus Christ worthy of worship, even if he doesn't do anything for you? If you know who he is, you know yes. He's to be worshiped as God. And if he lets me drop into hell, he's still worthy of divine worship because of who he is. Do you believe that? This man came and he worshiped him. And he worshiped him before he did anything for him. Now, he's worthy of worship. You only worship God. And this man knew that Jesus Christ was God. He came asking him to do only what God could do anyway. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He knew Jesus Christ was God, the only one who could make him clean. Coming to Christ, I repeat, is knowing who he is. Now, do you know he's God the Son? Do you know that? Do you know he's the Creator? Do you know he's the absolute sovereign of the universe? Do you know he is to be worshipped and you're in his hand? If you do, you know who he is. That's the first reason someone comes to Christ in their own experience. Well, first of all, they come because they're drawn by the Father, but they come because they know who he is. Now, stay with me here in Matthew chapter 8. Look what it says. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord. Now, isn't that the same thing the thief on the cross said? Lord. You're the Lord. I know you're not going to stay nailed to this cross. I know you're going to come back as a mighty reigning king because of who you are. He's the Lord. Now, what does this mean? He's the Lord. It means he's the Lord of creation. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of providence. You know what that means? He controls everything that happens. Everything. You can't take that too far. He controls everything that happens. He is completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of men. Now, we do what we want to. When we sin because we want to sin. We can't blame God. And yet he's in complete sovereign control over everything. Every event. I don't care if it's a worm crawling through the ground. He's in control of that, or the destruction of an empire. He's in control of that because he's Lord. And most especially, He is Lord of salvation. So when I come into his presence, I know my salvation is entirely up to him. That's the way this man came. He came and worshiped him, saying, Lord. You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. He's the Lord. I love it when the disciples don't recognize him first after the resurrection, when he's on the beach and they're out in the boat and they've caught nothing, and then they hear someone say, children, have you any meat? And all of a sudden John said, it's the Lord. What'd Peter do? He jumped into the water after him. It's the Lord. He's the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, when a man comes to Christ, he always, without any exceptions to this, acknowledges his sovereignty. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will. Nobody has ever come to Christ who did not acknowledge his sovereign will. Lord, if you will. Now, what does sovereignty mean? Now, if I come to him, I'm going to be acknowledging this. I'm going to be bound before him just like this. Lord, if you will. What does his sovereign will mean? Well, he has a will. There is such a thing as the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ. He has a will, and he has the power to make his will come to pass. He does make his will come to pass all the time. And he has the right to make his will come to pass all the time. Can I not do what I will with my own or his very own words? You come acknowledging his sovereign will. If you come to him, that's what you do. Lord, if you will. You don't say, Lord, I will that you make me clean. Why, that would be evil. That's all you could call it. Lord, I'm coming to you to make me clean. It would not be fair if you didn't make me clean. I mean, I'm coming to you. No, you don't come that way to the Lord. That's the way religious people come, thinking, you know, it's his obligation, and it's not fair for him to do, not what we ask him to do. But you don't come that way if you know who he is. You come just like this leper did. Lord, if you will. But let's look at what this man says next. Lord, if you will, you can. You believe that. If you will, you have the ability to make me clean. Now, anytime somebody comes to Christ, and this is all the time with a believer, we come this way all the time. We don't come dictating him what our will for him to do is. Lord, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. Now listen to these scriptures with regard to his ability. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, if you could fall away, you would fall away. You believe that? If you could, you would. If I could fall, I will fall. But now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. You know what that means? Sinless. That means without guilt. That means perfectly justified. That means holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. You don't need to look behind your back. It's all taken care of. You're holy. You've never sinned. Faultless. Do you believe He's able to do that? Do you believe He's able to present you as one who has never sinned? That's what justification is. Perfect in God's sight. Listen to Paul's words in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Now He's talking about the day of judgment. You were talking about death, same thing. I'm persuaded that if I die, if I'm driving home tonight and wreck the car, I'm dead. Lynn probably lives, gets to marry somebody better than me some down way. Why am I saying that? That's stupid. The point is, I have committed the entire salvation of my soul to Him. My hands are off. It doesn't have anything to do with my works. I've committed that to Him. And He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day, where on that day I'm going to be justified. Do you believe in His ability? I love what those blind men came into Him saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. He says, what will you that I should do unto you? He said, that we may see. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. I believe He's able. I believe He's able to present me faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. Now, the next thing that I would notice about this man, and this is always there in coming to Christ, He said, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, here's the point. I'm not clean. When I come into His presence, there is an understanding of this. I am not clean. Let me show you a passage of Scripture. You probably have seen this before, but if you haven't, this will be a blessing. Turn to Leviticus chapter 12. It's about the cleansing of the leper. Leviticus chapter 12. Verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. Now, before we go on reading, Luke's account says a man full of leprosy. All there was leprosy. There was no healthy flesh, completely covered with this filthy disease, full of leprosy. Now, this is the one the Lord is describing here in this verse 12. And if leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. It's all turned white. He's clean. But, verse 14, when raw flesh appeareth in him. Now that word raw is living. Quick. Uncovered with leprosy. If there's one spot of him that is healthy flesh, you know what? He's sent back to the leper colony. The only way you can come to Christ is like this man did, full of sin, to where all you are in and of yourself, all I am in and of myself, is sin. From the top to the foot, everything in between, I in myself right now am nothing but sin. Now, when I'm preaching to you, I realize I've got a new nature that I didn't have before. But I've got an old nature that is no better than it ever was. And I struggle with sin just as much as I ever have. I am filled with sin. And that is the person who comes to Christ. Someone who is utterly unclean. And this man was utterly unclean. He was completely covered. And that's the only way a sinner ever comes to Christ. Completely filled with sin. And this man came to the right thing. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. That's what I need. I need to be made clean. I need him to do something for me about my sin. I need to be made clean. I can't make myself clean, but he is able to make me clean so that I'm accepted before God. Now, I'm not coming to have my health restored. I like being healthy, but that's not why I need him. I want to be healthy. I'm not saying I don't. Don't understand. But what I need is to be saved from my sins. I need to be made clean. I don't need to be healthy. I don't need to be wealthy. I don't need to have everything going my way. I need to be made clean so that when God sees me, he sees no sin. I love the way David said, hide thy face from my sin so that you don't see anything there. That is what I need. I need to be made clean. And he stopped. Now here's a man who came to Christ. This man knew who the Lord was. He worshipped him for who he was. He acknowledged his lordship, Lord. He acknowledged his sovereign will, if you will. He acknowledged his ability, you can. He acknowledged his uncleanness and his need to be made clean. I turn back to Mark in chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. You see, he knew who he was. And saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, he wasn't sure that the Lord was willing to do it, was he? He said, if you will, you can. But he wasn't sure if the Lord was willing. But look how willing the Lord is to cleanse all who come to him. Just like that. And Jesus, verse 41, moved with compassion. Now this moved the Lord to compassion. Now this leper, like I said, he wasn't sure whether the Lord was willing to do this, but that's because he didn't know the Lord as he should. He delights in saving sinners. He was moved by compassion. And the scripture says he reached forth his hand and what? Touched him. Would you have touched him? I probably would get my hands in my pocket. I mean, I don't want to get this man's disease. But the Lord moved with compassion. I bet this man hadn't been touched as far as human touch in so long. And the Lord Jesus moved with compassion. You know, if you come to Christ like this man did, if I come to Christ like this man did right now, the God of glory is moved with compassion. He's so glorious. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. Now, it's one thing for me to say I will with regard to anything. You going to do this tomorrow? Yeah, I'll do it. Well, I don't know whether I will or not. I don't even know whether I'll be alive tomorrow. If the Lord will, I'll do that. But oh, the power of his, I will. Father, I will that they that you have given me be with me where I am. Now this is he who is equal to the Father because he's God. He said, I will. Any sinner who comes to him like this leper did, hears the same thing. I will be thou clean. And look what it says in verse 42. And as soon as he'd spoken, immediately, just like that, the leprosy departed. Now, it didn't just dissipate. It departed. It went somewhere. It went somewhere. Now, my sin went somewhere. It went to him. This is how God saves people. You see, sin can't be two places at once. When it left me, it went to him. The scripture says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That leprosy departed. It went to him. It went to him. And he is made perfectly clean. Now that's how you and I can stand before God without guilt. Because my sin departed. It's gone. It's not there. Well, what happened to it? He put it away. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That word departed is there for a reason. They didn't just disappear. They went somewhere. And he put them away. And that's why I can stand before God not having to worry about something coming back up because it's all gone. I stand before God just, without guilt, without sin. I don't have to worry about looking behind my back. It's a just salvation. It glorifies the justice and the righteousness of God. His leprosy departed. And he was clean. And he straightly charged them, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 13, about what a leper who was cleansed. Remember, the one who was pronounced clean was the one who was completely covered. He was the one pronounced clean. And he told him what to, he said, you go offer up whatever Moses command you to offer up. But, verse 45, he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, did the man disobey the Lord? I reckon he did. I don't know how else you can say it. The Lord told him not to do it, and he did it. Put yourself in that. I'm not justifying disobedience in any way. Put yourself in that man's place. He began to blaze abroad the matter. Why did the Lord say not to tell anybody? Well, the Lord wasn't looking for a following. You know, if I was able to heal somebody, the first thing I'd say, you better tell everybody about it, so they'll know, they'll come to me, and they'll say, not the Lord. He didn't come to gain a following. He came to save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what he did. But that man, he couldn't resist. He began to blaze abroad the matter. And I hope the Lord will, in obedience to him, blaze abroad the matter as to how he made us clean. Behold, there came a leper, full of leprosy, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, reached forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately, no steps he had to take, no cleaning himself up, immediately his leprosy departed from him. May you and I come to Christ even now, same way this man did. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would draw us and give it to us to come to thy Son, and that we might be enabled to come just like this leper did. Bless your word for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray.